welcome to episode 60, a very special happy Thanksgiving episode of Divided by Werewolves. It is Thanksgiving Day, U.S. Thanksgiving Day. I should point that out.
Yeah. And those Mitch Canadians.
They already had theirs.
October. Yeah.
Yeah. They already had
Good
theirs.
For them. Exactly. Taking two of the best holidays and doing it in the best month of the year, though.
Exactly. If you can't be thankful for Halloween, then exactly. What is there to be thankful for? We're both full. We were lamenting. Mm. I think, honestly, I feel like that, you know, there's a lot of things about getting older that I'm not thrilled about. But my inability to just shove an obscene amount of food into my body has to be one of the highest.
Yeah.
There was a time when my family, I wasn't the smart one or the good looking one or the one that was going to go on and do anything useful in life. I was the one who could eat a lot. And I was fine with that. I was like, you know what? That works. Cause I was very thin. Mm-hmm. And they're always like, where do you put it? And it was like, you know, it would just be gone. Like I would literally eat pounds of food. And the next morning it would be gone through the magic of a young metabolism. And that's I Jacob. Can't yep. even come close to anything like that anymore.
Mm-mm. No, I was telling Tommy the other week, there was literally a day where I had vodka and air. And I gained 4 pounds. I was like, I don't know how that. I was like, that's just not fair.
Yeah. It happens. Okay, we have a lot to talk about today. So we're going to get started. Let's see. So real quick, I am almost done with Divinity. Mm-hmm. And if you've been watching me stream and complain about it, you'll know that it's very frustrating to me. Like, it's a great game. I've already put like 80 some odd hours into it. So you'd think, hey, you'd be good. You're done. Like just be happy with it. But, you know, the reality is part of the problem is that I feel like this last act of the game, there's just so much just extra kind of bullshit that they're having you do. And it's not necessarily like I feel like they're trying to pad things out. It just feels like they thought, oh, well, this will be good. There's this to finish this one, and I streamed it last night, to finish this one quest, you have to go into this place, and there are these cursed enemies that are on fire, and they respawn if they go back into the fire, and then mm-hmm. they make fire. And so it's just this, and it's not a difficult fight. It's just fucking tedious. And you're just like, why? Like, why? Once you get to where you are in the game now, like, you really are just like, I want this. I want to just kind of start wrapping it up. And for it to just throw, and I actually had dropped the difficulty level because every fight was like 45 minutes, and it was like, maybe you'll get through, maybe you won't. And it's just like, you're just randomly attacked by enemies on the street, and it's just like, what the fuck? Like, I want to see, you know, like the story kind of come to fruition. I want to, and it just, it almost feels punitive.
That game, like watching you stream that, every time you go into a inventory screen, I have anxiety. I could never play that game.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, you know, there's some of that. I mean, you can spend a tremendous amount of time just micromanaging your inventory, and it can definitely be a pain in the ass. It's all in how much, and it's not even, I was about to say it's all in how much you want to do, but that's not even true, because you kind of have to, because,
right,
you know, I mean, you either are prepared for a fight or you're not, and if you're not, you are going to die. Ha yeah. ha.
Like Monster Hunter, right? Like Monster Hunter, but
that's different.
A much more streamlined experience getting ready to go after a monster.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is, It is different. Monster Hunter, yeah, you definitely need to be prepared, but the preparation time, it's time spent preparing in Monster Hunter is significantly less than other places. But anyway, but I've spent so much time and I really want to see how it ends.
Oh, for sure.
And they actually did a lot of work in the PS4 version to make this last act better. So I can't even imagine kind of how it was,
wow,
you know, prior to this. So, but anyway, on a happier note, I finally started playing Moss, and holy shit. Like, I feel like, unfortunately this is too late to give people the good word, but Black Friday, and I'll get the show up tomorrow, but there is a Moss Astrobot Rescue PSVR bundle on sale for Black Friday for like $200, and holy fuck, if you have a PS4, fucking get on that shit. Astrobot Rescue was one of the, there's a Playroom VR game, and it's completely free, and the Astrobot Rescue is the best part of it, and they turned it into a full game. It's supposed to be bananas.
Yeah, so much praise for that I've been seeing, and it's like, it's weird that I had hardly heard about it until it was cheap on Black Friday, and everybody started losing their shit.
Yeah, I got it free. Not free, sorry. I got it for $20, so half off. GameStop had a pre-Black Friday sale. So I got it then. I gave it to my wife, and I was like, here is a Christmas gift for me. and similarly, I bought Moss, like, is a game, again, critically acclaimed. Finally went on sale at PS, PlayStation Store, and I bought it. That game, like, there are, I feel like, you know, when you explain VR to people, it is very hard to sometimes get across why it is so special. But for me, there are certain things about certain games that click. And when it clicks, you go, okay, this is not a thing that could have happened in another game. With Farpoint, there was a time when I was walking, and I came to a chasm on my right, and I knew that I had to move forward, and I wanted to keep my gun trained forward, but I wanted to look down the chasm. In a traditional first-person game, wherever your gun looks is where you're looking.
Right.
And I walked up to the chasm. I kept my gun trained ahead of me, and I just looked down and to my right, and I could see down the chasm, but still, and that to me was like, that's it, right there.
Yep.
That ability to do that, to make you feel like that is what you do.
Well,
Moss had a similar moment. It is like playing in a storybook. Like, that's what they tell you. And it is on, if you have the PSVR, it is on the PSVR demo disc 2. There's a there are all of these little parchments that you get, and they're collectibles. I don't know if they mean anything or not, but you get to a level and you want to find it. And I was like, where is the collectible? I fucking stood up and could look down over the entire map. And I streamed that episode. Nice. It doesn't come through as well streaming, but you can see it. And just that ability, like, at one point I was like, wait, can she make it through this little tunnel? And I just moved my head. I was like, yeah, but that, to stand up and see over everything and be like, there it is.
Yep.
I was like, that's it. And just some of these spaces you're in when you're playing this game, the level of detail, not so much like, because, you know, the PSVR games, from a resolution standpoint, they're not as detailed because they essentially have to fill two screens with it, so they're kind of limited.
Right.
But just the way they fill in all the space around you and give height to things.
Yes.
So it's in Moss. So it's you're on the ground level, but there's height so you can stand up. And you're not clipping through a roof. It's fucking amazing. You can tilt your head and look and go, that's the stage I'm going to go to. And then you look to your left and you're like, that's where I just was, were, had right, been. Right. Anyway, and that was when it kind of clicked. And it is a beautiful game. And it's a very cool experience. And so, man, if you have been thinking of jumping in on PSVR, and it's a great time. There's lots of great games.
Yeah.
I bought Creed I bought Creed today. I was like, I don't sweat enough playing VR. Let's let's be a complete puddle of goo. I said to my wife, I was like, I'm going to have to set that shit up in the backyard. It'll be like fucking 30 degrees outside. And I'll be like, bah, 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 because I fucking love Creed. I just rewatched the first one. I'm all so set to go see Creed 2.
Sir.
I am such a huge
Michael Jordan. Jesus.
Fan. Oh my God. Yeah, I stand so hard for that man. It is like
he is fucking and he has no right or every right to not be humble. And the fact that he at least comes across as humble as he does in interviews, I can't
I
am nothing but impressed with that dude.
The day him and Idris Elba are in a movie together, I will die. I will die so hard. I will fall through all the planes of existence. Yeah. But anyway, so definitely, you know, if you have PSVR, check out Moss, check out Astrobot. If you don't, you're thinking of getting into it, Black Friday, man, get on it.
Yeah. I mean, the price, I've seen, what, 150 or so?
Yeah, I think the Moss VR is $199. And, you know, I paid much more for that, and I'm not even mad because want people to buy this system to make sure that games keep coming out for it.
Right, and even if you can only afford like the $150 base system, it's completely worth that. And the PlayStation or Sony goes out of their way to make sure you have experiences because there's so much free content for the PSVR.
Exactly. Yeah,
and it's all awesome. I mean, to one degree or another, I've not played one game on the VR where I was just like, oh, that fucking sucks. Like everything I've played, and maybe it's just because I'd never experienced VR. I'm always like a fucking kid. Like, oh, look at that. Oh, like it's so like there's no way to describe what it's like the first time you put on a VR helmet or whatever.
Yeah.
And enter a game.
Right. Right. Yep. Absolutely. All right. So we have a lot of movies. Finished Outlast.
I have a couple of quick gaming notes really quick. That nobody will care about but me.
I care.
Outlast 2, I did finish. And, you know, if you like your horror games where you're not allowed to fight back or do anything and all you have is a camcorder and the ability to hide, this is pretty fucking stellar. It's relatively short. I got through it in about 8 hours or so, I guess. The story is obviously the driving factor, and this game is fucked, completely fucked. Like by the end, I was just sitting there and I had this, I had a night, it was last Sunday. I just couldn't sleep. Like I took about an hour nap at 10:30 and at midnight I was wide awake.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is bullshit. Like I was like, I could just tell I'm not going back to sleep. And so I was like, well, it's midnight. Might as well finish Outlast 2. Yeah, sure. That was a mistake.
Like, seems like Jesus the good thing
Christ.
To do.
The last 2 hours of that game, like when the story kind of played.
Would you kindly?
It does not kindly play out. When it plays out the way it does, but it is, oh my God, it's fucked. Even by my standards, this is fucked.
Really?
If you like, you know, if you like your satanic cult, weird microwaves fucking with people's minds game mixed with a little Catholicism.
Sure, who doesn't?
And hinted at child molestation.
Nice. Yeah, you're hitting all
your
the
game.
You're
yeah.
game of the year.
Yeah. So yeah, if that checks all your boxes, if you haven't played Outlast 2, get on that shit. And then my other little quick note is that after many, many, many months, I have a 600 character in Destiny 2.
Yay. And that mask, your 600 character looks so much better than mine. That fucking mask is badass.
Yes, sir. I wanted that thing so bad. That's why I put down my hunter and I've been playing nothing but Titans on both systems.
Like I have a full, you know, my warlock is max full set of samurai. I love the Iron Banner gear. I love the Iron Banner gear in D1. Love it in D2. But I saw that mask and I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
I have a Titan.
Yeah, right? So for those that didn't keep up or didn't see me on Twitter, it's the one-eyed mask, and yeah. It's apparently, which I don't even care, but apparently it's like, it's such a high level in PvP that it's almost considered broken. Like it's
so
the
what,
exotic.
What is such a big? So that's an exotic?
Yes.
So what's the big deal with it in PvP?
So while you're wearing it, anybody that shoots at you, they get marked, and you can see them through walls and shit.
Oh, fuck like, that noise.
If they shoot you and you get away, then you can see them through walls and you can like go after them
you
and shit
like
that.
Come at the king, you best not miss.
Exactly. Dude. So I just wanted it because it looks badass. And
that's
yeah,
wasted
so,
on you because you don't do PvP.
Yeah, I don't God care. I'll it. Wear that motherfucker all. I'm going to wear it forever. I'd probably never take that off.
Run up, get done up.
Yeah. Now, you know what?
I don't need people being able to see me in walls in PvP. I do a bad enough job just not sealing the deal.
Yeah.
If it's not Iron Banner, Iron Banner.
That's when I'll use it. I'll use it in Iron Banner.
Iron Banner, fuck all
I mean,
y'all.
It does work against the AI also. It's just that most things in the AI, if they shoot me, I know where those motherfuckers are.
Well, they don't
are.
Go anywhere.
I just killed them.
Yeah, like, they don't. They yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, that's cool. Congratulations. It's a pretty good feeling because you're just like, freedom.
Oh, my God. So yeah. One of the YouTube channels I watch, he does this thing where he asks people to send in clips of their reactions to getting drops or whatever in Destiny. I would have been number one this week had I clipped it and sent it in.
Yeah. It's like when they used to post all the videos of people who got what was the rocket launcher?
Gjallarhorn.
And you would think it was like that kid who got a Nintendo 64 on Christmas.
Yes. I love that kid. I was like,
damn, these people are happy over this motherfucking shit.
Yeah, that was me yesterday.
That's awesome. Hey, when I hit 600 in D1, I went and got a cake and had a Mark 600 on it. So we all have our things.
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. Well, congratulations. That's fantastic. So then you still have to go back to your hunter, though, right? Or are you just like fucking
out? Oh, no, no. I still have 5 other characters I have to get to 600. So.
Oh. Yeah. Well, all right.
That's just one. I've done one now.
So much for freedom. Sorry, man. I feel like bad.
I was like, playing right before we recorded. I was on my Titan on Xbox, so.
There you go. They need to implement cross-platform item sharing.
That would make my life so much easier.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, I wonder why they're not going to do it.
Assholes like me, that's why.
I was going to say, they're like, well, but then he won't play, so we could do that. Hear me out. Right. What if we don't? Yeah. Yeah. All right, cool. So let's see. So yeah, we have a lot of movies to talk about. First one is one that I had every intention of going to see. And here's the thing. I feel like this studio system is fucking broken when it comes to distribution of movies. And Overlord, the first movie we're going to talk about, is a perfect example. We had decided we were going to talk about Overlord. I had every intention of going to see Overlord. I just didn't go see Overlord quickly enough. And as a result, around here anyway, unless I want to go to some weird ass once a day, you know, obscure time showing,
right,
I can't see it. It's gone. It's been a month.
It's been 2 weeks,
you know. So
it wasn't out yet on our last episode because I was so excited to go watch it. It's been 2 fucking weeks.
And I know that, like, you know, Creed 2 is coming out and other shit is out. And the one theater by me, so we have a sizable Indian population where I live. So one of the theaters by me, they play a lot of Indian movies. And so, you know, that would be kind of, and I'm not going to say it's times taken away from other showings, but it, you know, I mean, if they're choosing to show, you know, 3 or 4 Indian movies on 3 or 4 different screens, that's fewer screens for Western movies. But I mean, it wasn't around. And I don't mean like, I mean, literally, there was, if I wanted to drive a half an hour for a 9 o'clock show, I could see this movie. Why not let me fucking stream that to my house for $10?
Yep.
Or $12 or $15.
Whatever the price would have been.
Why stick with a system that requires me to go somewhere rather than continue to make money. And maybe that's just here. Maybe in other parts of the country where there are a lot more options. And that's the thing, though. I don't feel like it's that because, you know, there are a lot of movie theaters around here, and most of them only had like one showing a day. And I know it's not a popular big movie. It's not Crimes of Grindelwald or, you know, whatever. But why not take advantage of that and go, okay, cool, we're going to be out in the theaters for X number of weeks. And then if you want to stream it, pay us $15.
Yeah.
Fucking watch it in your house. Because I didn't see it. And I want to. Now, will I buy it? Well, I guess I need to listen for the next 20 minutes and find out. But the fact of the matter is, all you're doing is limiting the amount of money. And I know that they'd say, well, people could pirate it. But you know what? People fucking take camcorders into the theater and do that shit already.
Yep.
So, you know, it just seems to me like there is a, you know, similar in video games, like I feel like the B movie video game, that $40 price point where it's just kind of, it's good, but it's not great. Like that, there's no, that type of game has gone because they can't justify the amount of money that you would need to spend on making it. And it's a shame because there's been a huge number of good games at that kind of level. And I feel like same thing here, like this movie is gone. And there's the opportunity there to still get money from
make money in ahead of the digital VOD and Blu-ray release or whatever.
Right, exactly. And they just don't want to do it because of I don't even know why. I'm sure they
this is the way it's always been done, I guess. Like
exactly, right. Because reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So how was it?
So I did get to see it. I went as soon as I possibly could, which means I went the first day I was off a call, and I watched it primarily by myself. And this is a fucking shame because it's fucking awesome.
Is it real? Oh, damn it! I mean, that's great. I'm happy, but god damn it,
I can best describe this movie as this is as much of a Hellboy movie as we'll ever see that
doesn't have
Hellboy in it.
Stop. I'm out. God.
It's 100% a Hellboy movie that Hellboy just happens to not be in. It's exactly how I felt while I was watching it. And I was sitting there and I was just like, the only thing this is missing is Hellboy.
It's the Mad Monk.
Like, right? It's like it's a basic plot. I liked everybody in it. I especially liked I knew I was going to do this. Goldie Hawn and Wyatt Russell.
I love all. Fuck.
He was fucking good. The actor who was the main character whose name is escaping me at the moment. Let me look it up. Sorry, he was really good.
I'm a bad influence on you.
I'm sorry. I have to look it up because he was fucking great. I didn't know him from anything else, and that's why I was like, I need to. Yeah, so I'm gonna murder this Jovan Adepo. I don't know what his name. Anyway, he was fucking fantastic. He's like this rookie. He's a private, and he's put on this mission, and they're like, yeah, you know, we're just gonna parachute in to this little town where there's like this radio tower, and we have to take down the tower, and then. Once they get there, of course, it goes to shit, and turns out there's this evil Nazi scientist who's experimenting on dead bodies and live bodies and trying to create the ultimate German soldier for the, you know, this undead like army or whatever. And of course, that shit is met with some complications.
As it always is. That's never a process that goes smoothly.
Right. He's turning motherfuckers into monsters and shit, and then they have to complete the mission. And literally, if Hellboy – it was like reading – so the BPRD, because Hellboy's been in hell. It's like a BPRD comic because they've been doing this series where it was like Hellboy and the BPRD 1942, 1954. It's exactly one of those miniseries, only Hellboy doesn't show up.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
Seriously? It
is highly recommended.
God damn it. I mean, that's great. Like, I am super excited that is
yeah.
Damn it.
As soon as you can watch it, man, watch it.
Well, my hope is that because it left so quickly that it will come to, you know, the problem is, first of all, some of us motherfuckers still like discs, okay?
Yeah.
So can we not
up his hand? Ew.
Can we not just keep doing this fucking digital? It comes out, you know, two weeks
or a month earlier.
Fuck that noise, motherfucker! Please, can we just stop that bullshit? Because no.
Yeah.
So my hope is that it hits video soon. Because if in fact, you know, it's gone,
yeah.
You know, my hope is that it comes to video sooner rather than later, because I really did want to see it. And
yeah,
I mean, I'm all about it. You're like Nazis and zombies. Like, that's the thing, right?
Right. That was honestly, always... and there were times where, I'm just going to sound like I'm just fucking with you, because I know, like, I've already made you want to watch it. But the other thing I meant to mention when I was thinking about when we were going to talk about this was there were scenes that are very reminiscent of John Carpenter's The Thing.
Oh, just twist the knife.
I know, man. If you put
literally the thing. Like, if you.
I know.
I just rolled my eyes. I don't know if you heard that all the way through.
I felt it in my soul.
Like, if you were to like, I honestly, if I had to pick my favorite horror movie of all time,
yeah,
John Carpenter's The Thing, if not the number one, because I mean, young Kurt Russell,
yeah,
come on, son,
yeah,
three
of all time, not just horror movies, movies in general.
Yeah, exactly. It would be like honestly, The Thing. Raiders and all of can all of the Fast and Furious movies be one movie?
To me, they might as well be. So
fine,
sure.
Done. Hurricane Heist. No.
Oh, we got to talk about Hurricane Heist before this episode ends.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, that's good. You know, honestly, here's the thing. Like, you know, if you can't see something, the recommendation of a trusted friend, you know, gets you, you know, I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, now I'm even more excited to see it now than I was before. So, I mean, it's a, you know, it's a special kind of torture that I can't, right.
Yeah. Like, my best of the year list has, this episode really shook up my best of the year list. Cause Fuck. This one's up there for
damn
me
it,
now.
Damn it, now I feel like I need to drive out to Mall of Georgia tomorrow night for 9 o'clock show, which probably won't even be there.
But again, like I said, the fact that I love Hellboy and The Thing the way I do.
I love Hellboy too. Motherfucker, you drew it. He's on my arm. So real quick, true story. I have a tattoo drawn by your boy, Mitch Reeves. I have a piece of Mitch. Like, I have more Mitch Reeves art in my basement than Mitch Reeves probably has in his own goddamn house.
That's true.
And I emailed him years ago, and I said, I want a tattoo, and here's the idea. Imagine Batman animated series and Hellboy animated. They're on a mission together, and the Joker found the writings of Rasputin and conjured a monster. And what would it look? What would the cover of a comic book that they were in together look like? And he drew this fucking badass piece. It was on two pieces of paper.
Yeah.
He sent it to me, and it was fucking amazing. And I brought it to my tattoo guy, and I said, this is what I want. Now, obviously, you are the man. You can use this for inspiration. You can do what you want with it, but this is what I want. Go forth and do your thing. I emailed back and forth with this cat for weeks. We finally got a time nailed down, and I went to the studio, and I texted Mitch after I got the initial outline done, and he said, man, this thing's so good. I kept trying to build on it and make it better, and I couldn't. It's perfect. So I'm just
which I didn't know.
And I said,
was sitting here
and I
nervous as fuck for weeks because I wasn't hearing anything.
Well, but I told you I liked it. And so he said, I'm just going to clean it up so we can tattoo it. And I remember texting Mitch and I said, motherfucker, you did better than a man who does this for a living. So I have a hell, and it's my favorite. I get more when people see, they see Hellboy's foot and a tentacle peeking out from the bottom of the sleeve. And they're always like, what's that? And when I lift the sleeve up, it's like, oh, it's like the arc, like the light from the Ark of the Covenant just comes out. And they're like, that is badass. And I'm like, motherfucker, I know that shit is. Come on, son. So what you're saying right now, man, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
I'm fucking all about it. Well, that's great. Okay, most importantly, does it tie into the Cloverfield episode
universe? That.
Please say no.
Fuck all that shit. This has nothing to do with Cloverfield. Fuck that. No. And I love Cloverfield. I love that giant bastard. It has no place in this movie.
Good.
At all.
Good.
Fuck all that noise.
Okay, good. Because when you sent me that thing, like, here's how it could, I was like, you need to get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
I was like, you did this.
Oh, shit. All right, cool. All right, good. Well, now I'm excited. Before, I mean, I was like, you know, I was excited before because I wanted to hear your impression. But now that I've heard it, I'm both more upset and excited at the same time, which is essentially how I live pretty much my entire life. Just a constant state of irritation and excitement.
Yep.
Okay, so what's next? Oh, what should we do next?
Well, we've hit a high note. You want to do the other high note, or do you want to go?
I don't know. What is the other high note?
You want to bring it back down? I don't know. For me, it's Aramentari.
Oh, yes. Yeah, because that ties in fairly well. Because,
yeah,
like you said, this is the closest to a Guillermo del Toro movie we're going to get.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah. So, Aramentari is a... So, the Basque people... So, here's a cool thing that I learned about the Basque. Aramentari is a Netflix, I don't know where it's been released, but it's a Netflix exclusive movie, and it is based on...
I can't find to buy at all, by the way.
Okay.
Fuck yeah, I've tried.
It is based on Basque folklore. So here's a cool thing. So when I watch, after Anthony Bourdain passed away, I started watching his Parts Unknown. Mm-hmm. And it literally has changed how I see the world, and my desire is in terms of how I want to interact with things, with the world. Like I saw places I've never seen before, and I was like, I want to go there. I want to see that place. I want to talk to those people. I want to eat their food. And it was like, you know, it's kind of stupid to call a TV show like life changing, but I mean, for me, it really was. And he did this super cool episode about the Basque people. And so, Basque is, it's right between, France and Spain. Mm-hmm. And it is in the Bay of Biscayne, and it's absolutely gorgeous. Here's the thing about the Basque people. They have only ever spoken Basque. If you go there, like when you consider how close, like I think in America we get, America's like the United States of America is huge, and most people they speak English or Spanish. But for the most part, like even if you go into Canada, they speak English. You go into Mexico, they speak Spanish. But for the most part, like so you forget that like in Europe that you can literally be 2 hours away from England or France or Belgium or Germany or the Netherlands, or you know, so there's all these different people, all these different languages. Depending on where you are in Europe, you could hear 5, 6, 7 different languages. In Basque, they only speak Basque. That's it. So here's this small region in between Spain, which was like Spain was at one point the fucking like the country, and then France, and they only speak Basque. And the if you like the people who live there, they've lived there generations back. And it was an amazing episode to see about these people, and they're not isolated in the way you would think. You would think, okay, if these people only speak this language, they can trace their lineage back for generations, they've got to be hella isolated. That's not it at all. And so when you were like, oh, and I read about this movie and it was based on Basque folklore, I was like, fuck it, I'm it. And then,
yeah.
And then your comments on it were just like, yep, done.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Oh, I fucking love it. I love it. It's my favorite movie of the year.
Really?
Yeah. It dethroned The Ritual. I guess it stands for The Devil and the Blacksmith or whatever, and mm-hmm. It's the story. So 100%, like, Guillermo del Toro has a style.
Yes.
His style of movie, as far as I'm concerned, is the definition of movie magic. Like, it's just – there's just something about it. It puts me in some kind of a way, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, you know what? I just go on like a ride, and it takes me – like, I completely forget how fucked my life is, and I just enjoy – genuinely enjoy myself. And there's monsters, but they don't scare me. They're like interesting, and there's always this look to them.
Mm-hmm. This like Pan's Labyrinth to me, like, yes. The Shape of Water is the one that got him all the awards, but for me, right. Pan's Labyrinth is the one that really, like, if you want a good understanding of like what a Guillermo del Toro movie is, Pan's Labyrinth is it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's my favorite, hands down my favorite. And this movie, I can't say that it hits that level,
mm-hmm.
but in a year that I'm not getting a movie that does, it checked enough of the boxes that I was just like, and it's so gorgeous. Like the cinematography, yeah. The colors, like everything, it's and the demon costumes and that.
Yeah, I was really surprised at how well, you know, they there is a lot of practical effects, a lot of like, you know, the devil or demon, I guess I should say, because it's not the devil, mm-hmm. but that's a costume.
Yeah,
I mean, but not in a like this weird kind of rubber suit way.
No, the way it's shot, the way it's lit, like every bit of it makes it look like an actual character. But basically, like, not to get too far away, but it's a story about a blacksmith, and he's captured this demon, and people think he's, I don't know, into witchcraft or whatever it is, but he's locked up inside of his compound.
Right.
This little girl, through her heartbreaking story, ends up getting in there, and he sort of gets outed, or the villagers go to get her, and things kind of escalate from there. But it goes to some very cool places by the end. Like, it's just, and there's such a dynamic between, once you realize, because you think it's the devil, and yeah. then once you realize it's not, the dynamic and the way his character changes, it's just I fucking love it.
Yeah, and the like you said, like, I mean, when you find out the connection between the blacksmith and the girl.
Yeah.
I mean, God, I was just like, I honestly did not, I was happy enough with just like, this cool. He keeps demons locked up. Well, shit, right. He should. Those motherfuckers, they're right. Not great. You know, like, right. But then to find out like what his relationship is with this little girl, and you're just like, oh no. Like
Yeah. It's as far as I'm concerned, like I said, my favorite movie of the year. It's masterful in almost every level. Like storytelling, cinematography, just the actors were all one. I don't know any of them. They were all great. Loved the guy that played Sartain, or not Sartain, that's Halloween, fuck. They played the demon's name, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was so good.
Yeah.
And it was fucked up, because I don't remember what movie it was, but it was Apostle. When I was watching the credits for Apostle roll, you know how they make the credits go to that small window and they play a trailer or something?
Yeah. This is the one that played, and I remember you saying, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. I know what I'm watching next.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sartail is his name.
Yeah.
I was close.
You were, and that's pretty good. It's better than I would have done. No, and I agree with you. It was, I think that, you know, one of the things that I like about GDT is his still insistence upon using practical effects wherever possible.
Yep.
I mean, Shape of Water worked, I think, as well as it did because, you know, the fish man was a guy in a fish suit. You know, you're not trying to make. And what's funny, because I remember.
Bradley, I'm stupid. Go ahead. Sorry.
Say that again.
I fucked up his name. Now go ahead.
Okay. Like, I remember when Blade 2 came out, Blade 2 and Spider-Man 2 were out at roughly the same time. And I remember both of them having extended fight scenes with CGI characters in Blade 2, because Blade and the woman vampire, they fight in front of this like wall of spotlights, and yeah. You were like, and it was all CGI, and you're like, what the fuck?
It's rough.
And Spider-Man 2 kind of was doing the same thing, and Spider-Man 2 worked better. But so I kind of feel like, and I have nothing to back this up at all, that, like, you know, kind of at one point, you know, maybe, you know, Guillermo del Toro was like, yeah, we'll use digital effects. And then was like, nope, fuck that. And then was like, let's do practical as much as we can. And it just makes such a huge difference. And even now, where digital effects have come as far as they have, they still, if you get a good makeup and special effects team, the thing they're able to do, the ability to make something feel real and lived in, is so much, it's just 1,000 times better to me than the best, you know, digital effect.
100%. Yep, I agree.
I mean, when you look at Infinity War, which is the full power of the Marvel Universe behind it, and the billions of dollars those movies have earned, and you look, I mean, James Brolin looked great. Thanos looked great. But you watch this movie, and you see the demon, and you're like, that looks more real, because it was.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it just takes effort, and it takes knowing how to light things and camera angles. Yeah. You can't be lazy. And digital effects, like you said, as nice as they are sometimes, like fucking Star Wars. Jesus Christ. Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi still look better than anything we've seen since, as far as that franchise goes.
But no, I agree. I think this is a great movie, and honestly, this, again, is one, like, I would have watched, like, so... I mean, we've talked about this before, but, you know, a lot of times what will happen is Mitch and I will text back and forth, and what do you, you know, and I'll say to him, hey, what'd you watch? It's always me saying to him, hey, what'd you watch? Because he's like, well, you just watching NCIS, and I don't give a fuck about that show because I'm not 65, so I don't need to, I don't care or know what you're watching. I know what you're watching. I don't care because I can only... You're like, you're watching Fast Five for the 900th time.
I still want to know, though.
It's more me saying, hey, what are you watching? And when you were like, this movie, it's great. And then you tweeted about it and everything, and you had texted me. I had an hour left, and I was like, this motherfucker is going to, if there's a way to marry a movie, he's going to figure it out. I'm going to need to figure out how to send a wedding gift to a movie. What does a movie need? Probably flatware. Like,
well, I went straight to Twitter. While it was on, I was texting you. As soon as it ended, I went straight to Twitter, and I was like, at Netflix, at Aramintari, at everybody, how can I buy this? I can't find it. I need to buy it. Like, and what can I do? Like, and I get no response.
And I understand, like, why they don't want you buying it, because, okay, so like a movie like this, where it's a Netflix exclusive, but for how long, for one, and maybe that's the whoever, because it's a foreign movie.
Yeah.
So maybe the distribution deal that they worked out means this will always be on Netflix. So they don't have an interest in having you buy it, because they want it so that you're always just watching it on Netflix.
That's the way to watch it. Yeah.
Which I understand, but at the same time, it just seems somewhat short-sighted that you wouldn't, and maybe down the line, like, this seems like a Shout Factory type of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, yeah, and yeah. Maybe it just takes time where they have, you know what? Yeah, we will let you know. There will come a time when you can buy it. It's just not now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it, and it went to places I was honestly surprised mm-hmm. to see it go. And yep. not in a bad way, like in a, right. in a really, you know, and so I was really, and I, you know, when I was a kid, I loved like all the kind of folklore and, mm-hmm. You know, like myths and legends and all that stuff. And,
sure.
you know, the stuff with the bell. Like I loved, I still.
What was it?
The chickpeas.
Chickpeas. That's
like,
it.
And what's funny chickpeas. Is right before so I watched this movie, there was an episode of Supernatural, and there's at one point Sammy was talking to somebody, and he wasn't sure what he was, and he knocked a bowl of rice on the ground, and the guy was like, "What? You think I'm a leprechaun?" And I was like, "Oh shit!" So when I saw this, yeah. you know, this idea of like, okay, if you dump all the chickpeas, like I knew all that shit. I to this day, two things about me to this day, I will always polish an apple before I eat it because if you don't, the devil will get you. And if I will always make sure I have at least I have either two shoes on or no shoes on, because every step you take with only one shoe on is 1 year of bad luck. And the only way to reverse it is you have to step backwards with one shoe on. I have said to my wife, I've seen her walk around with one shoe, and I was like, what the fuck are you doing? I am married to you. Your bad luck is my bad luck. And she's like, I don't, and I'm like, no, you fucking, how many steps you take, back that shit up. Like, and I mean, it's just these, you know what? So like, I grew up reading all this shit. I loved it all. So to me, this was like, it hit all the right spots because it felt like a book of like mythology or whatnot, you know, folklore,
yeah.
kind of come to life, and I love that shit
for sure.
So that's the good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next one I want to talk about, because you had said to me I want to hear your impression of it because it's different than what I heard online is Cam. Which I think is another Netflix exclusive.
Yeah, it is.
And first and foremost, I was explaining to my wife, you know, we're old. And I was explaining to her, I was like, this is a movie about cam girls. And she's like, I don't know what that is.
God and bless I was, her.
And I, yeah, right. And I was like, oh, well, what that is that, you know.
What a conversation to have to have.
Yeah, right. I was like, well, some women will get on a video camera and do sexual things or non-sexual things, mm-hmm. and people will pay them money. And she was like, okay. And honestly, I knew cam girls existed. I didn't really know anything about them. The sum total of my experience comes from this movie.
Yeah. Mine sort of in the same vein, but not. I knew of them prior because I got to be friends with CJ Wallace, who he's a musician, he's a cinematographer, and all this stuff. But he was in Dead Hooker in a Trunk by the Saskas.
Oh, yeah. Love them.
And yeah, so he was Goody Two Shoes.
Really? Oh, okay.
Hershey guy. Yeah, yeah. So he and I, for whatever reason, struck up a friendship online. Like we've played hockey together on the PlayStation, and he DMs me and this and that. Like, but he did this movie called BB. It was his directorial debut. He had done music videos, but this is his first movie. And BB is about a cam girl.
Okay.
And so just through knowing him, I knew of them, and he let me read the script and shit like that before it came out and all this. I'm actually in the special thanks portion of the credits on that movie. If anybody,
no shit.
Yeah, if God, anybody gets to watch BB, I'm on there. But that's how I knew what a cam girl was. And so I went into this movie, and that's honestly part of the reason why I was interested in seeing it. I remember it did the festival circuit, and it got a lot of buzz because it was written by an actual cam girl, and apparently it was really good or whatever. And I'm like, all right. And then I saw it's coming to Netflix. Because usually movies like that, when they're doing the festival thing and I hear about them, I have to go far and wide to be able to get the opportunity. Like, I have to,
right,
you know, do whatever I have to do to see them. And then this was like Netflix. And I was like, oh, shit.
So like it's literally in my house.
Yeah. Like literally the day that it hit Netflix, I watched it like that day.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I don't understand it.
It's a movie.
I didn't understand it. I understood. Okay. So Cam is about this woman, and she's a Cam girl. And she is trying to get into the top 10 on this. So, for folks who are unfamiliar as to what a cam girl does, essentially, there are sites that will allow you to watch the streams of various cam girls, and you can tip them money. And based on their type of channel, either maybe they will do certain acts, maybe they won't. Some are nude, some are non-nude, that type of thing. But the idea is that they have a relationship with their viewers, and those viewers will tip them money. Maybe they'll send them gifts, that type of thing. No judgment, as in terms of, you know, whatever. But so
I ain't mad at you.
Hey, you know what? I'm not gonna. It's a thorny. It's a thicket. I ain't wading into it, especially with this fucking pepper vodka is in me right now. I'm pretty sure my ability to make a nuanced statement on the morality of cam girls is severely limited. So she is somewhat, not necessarily obsessed, but it is a goal of hers to reach the top 50 on this particular site. And a bunch of stuff happens, and she realizes that she's locked out of her account, and not because somebody has stolen her account, but there is another woman broadcasting as her who looks exactly like her, and who has her account. And I thought it was a much more interesting movie up until the point where they trotted this out. The idea of her, you know, kind of having a goal or obsession, whatever you want to call it, with getting to a certain ranking,
right,
and trying to get to that point, to me was far more interesting, because once this doppelganger took over her account, I don't understand what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
No, and everybody's saying how intense it is and how there's this sense of dread and all this, and I was like, you know what, I was into it, man. Some of the best scenes for me, like, first of all, shout out to her for her, the way she did her show.
Yep.
Because, you know, she's like, you know what, she's not all, she does do, I got the impression she did do the nude stuff. Well, obviously she did.
Yes, she did.
But but that wasn't the focus. Like, she tried to think outside the box. And so she does like fake suicides and all these things.
Fake
and
suicide, it's like, I thought was great.
Yeah. Like, she puts her heart and soul into her show, and she wants to be in the top 50 and eventually, I'm assuming, move on to number one. That's really cool. And then the fact that she tries to have a normal life outside of her work life, and she doesn't tell her mom what she does and all
that. Right. I loved all of that.
Great. Yeah.
I loved all of it.
And then this weird thing happened, and I was like, oh shit. Yeah. And I was still like, oh, I was trying to figure it out. I was like, and I kept thinking that guy, that weird dude, who I can't remember his name.
Tinkle.
Who showed up. Yeah. Yeah.
Or Tink or whatever his name Tink. Was. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, man, he's doing this somehow. What the fuck? Like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
And then, like, I was all in, and then it gets to the end, and I was like, that was fucking stupid. Like, what?
I don't understand what happened. Like, they go through this whole thing with, like, so, I don't give a fuck whether we spoil the movie or not.
Spoilers here. Timestamp.
So her, you know, her identity gets stolen by a girl who looks exactly like her. Mm-hmm. And it is broadcasting with her channel, with her identity.
From her apartment.
From her apartment.
Live.
Right. And she ends up, like, trying to do all this research because there was this other cam girl that was number one, and so the girl who was number one and her doppelganger were going to do a show together. So she, you know, was investigating this girl, and then she find out that she's actually died. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh shit! And I don't understand any of the shit that came. Like,
I don't either.
And then
I was like, oh, she's dead or something.
Right. Like, so then like I was like, okay, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that like she where the doppelganger
she actually died?
Yeah. Did she actually die? Is she with the dead girl? But she's not her. So what the fuck? And I was like, I don't understand. And then she talked to Tinkleberry, whatever the fuck his name was, and he's like, it feeds on and I you and. Feeds on
he's
people.
Like, yeah, he's like, I know what it is. I know who it's going to target next.
Yeah.
No, he said, I know it exists. I know who it's going to target. I don't know what it is.
Right. And you're like, and, okay, what the fuck does that mean? And
yeah, that doesn't and then, help me enjoy right, this and then, movie at all.
Right. And then at the end, she just takes her mom does her hair.
Yep.
And she's like, okay, I'm going to be a different cam girl. And she... Yep. Starts up a new account, and I guess they were trying to say with that like to her, even after everything she had been through, it was still more important to her.
She had to get her identity back.
Not even that, because she got it back. But
right, that's what I'm saying.
And then like she started a new one. So to her, the most important thing was to continue to do this. Just you know, kind
of. And I think part of that comes from the fact that it was written by a cam girl. So of course. She's going to put that in that she gets to go back to being a cam girl. Happy ending. But it's like,
but was it a happy ending? Because it seemed to me like at the end of the day, she still was somewhat like she had to start over. She had to start over and just chasing that ranking.
Right.
Was, you know, it wasn't like she could be like, okay, you know, I am happy being who I am. It was more like, well, shit, I need to try to get this money.
True.
Try to get, you know, you know, get, have people, you know, send me gifts and whatnot. But
I still think it's worth a watch, but people that are losing their shit over it. Like I, the ending completely falls flat for me. Like I was just confused and it's a shame. 'Cause I was so into it up until, sort of that shift to where the, I guess what can be considered the main plot of the movie, I guess, is what's going on, like with the stealing the identity or whatever. But everything else was so good until then that it kind of ruined it for me.
Yeah. And I guess that's where we differ. Like, I don't know if I would necessarily say it's worth watching.
Gotcha.
Just because I feel like, when you watch a movie, when you watch something like this, what you're looking for is some sort of resolution as to what exactly was going on. And you never get that.
Yeah, no, you don't. There's no resolution to this movie whatsoever. There's no explanation. I mean, there is a resolution, obviously it ends, but there's no explanation as to what happened. And it certainly doesn't, it doesn't make you feel any kind of way, or at least it didn't me by the end. But I guess what happened before all that, I enjoyed it enough to be like, you know, if you don't listen to the spoilers and you haven't seen it, I don't feel like I wasted my time watching it.
I don't either, but I don't know. I mean, but I don't know. I feel like in some ways you and I are like, we watch stuff because we want to watch it, but we also watch stuff with an eye for, you know, is this something we would want to recommend? So, you know, there's value for us in watching something that ends up maybe not being worth recommending, because knowing that it's not worth recommending makes up for maybe you or I having spent, you know, a couple hours
on
something we didn't enjoy.
True.
But if you're saying somebody who doesn't have that, you know, that's kind of for me where, but you know, whatever. Anyway. But having to explain to your wife what a cam girl is, that was, you know, worth the price of admission right there.
Telling you.
which brings us to our next movie, which is Death House. And oof. I'd like to, how did you find out about Death House?
Oh my God, man. This movie's been being talked about for 5-6 years now.
Mm.
when you get online as a person who's making a movie and you start bragging and boasting about it's the Expendables of horror and it has all the icons and everybody's in it and it's going to be amazing, you're going to catch my attention.
Right.
One way or another. Absolutely. Maybe I won't believe you, probably, especially if you're a first-time filmmaker or maybe you've only made one or two movies and I have never heard of them. But if you get the involvement of the people that he has get involved in this movie, then yes, you have my attention. I want to watch your movie. And that's exactly why he promoted this movie the way he did.
I'm surprised that the people, though, who were in it agreed to be in it.
Same. Oh, dear God. Yeah.
Because honestly, when the movie started and fucking Candyman was there, I was like, motherfucker, strap in. I'm good.
Yep. Mm-mm. You weren't, though.
I was not.
No.
I was not, yeah.
So just to give people an idea, this is just a few of the people in this fucking movie. So you've got Kane Hodder, who's obviously was Jason. You've got Bill Moseley, who was, I guess, I don't know, best known? Question mark. Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, he's Chop Top. Also, House of Thousand Corpses. Dee Wallace from The Howling, Michael Berryman from The Hills Have Eyes, Sid Haig from every goddamn movie ever, Tony Todd, as you said.
Adrian Barbeau
from Barbeau, The Fog
and Swamp Thing.
Alyssa Rose from Sleepaway Camp. Like, it goes on and on. Like, this movie,
until the break of dawn.
It was partially written. The story apparently was written, and he actually has a cameo in the movie by Gunnar Hansen, who was the original Leatherface.
Yep.
Like, good God, this is horror royalty. Like, the only thing it's missing is Robert Englund.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of anybody else.
Right.
So, on paper, this is amazing. And the director was quick to assure you that it was amazing for a very long time. So much so that before I got to watch it, because it hit VOD, like, I don't know, last week, week before last, I will be the proud owner of this movie.
No.
Sir, it was an exclusive pre-order. It's only going to be available from Diabolik DVD, and I pre-ordered it day one. So
no.
Yeah, I'll get to own this piece of hot garbage.
No.
I would love to get into the synopsis, but there's not one. It makes no sense.
So, basically, imagine a prison that was kind of patterned after the Nine Circles of Hell and the worst of the worst, including, I don't, it just, whatever, were placed in these prisons, this prison, and for whatever reason, they used VR and computers to make the prisoners be able to kill folks. And then two FBI agents who may have also been prisoners themselves went into it and did stuff. And then the things broke down and they went to prisoners to the bottom circle where guys in Fallout cosplay power armor.
Bill Moseley and company.
Incredibly tedious monologue about how you can't have good without evil.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened.
Yeah. This
and I then the two FBI agents, including a woman, had an extended shower scene where no one cleans themselves.
Yeah. They just turned around in the water.
Stared. Okay, two things happened. One is she noticed all of his tattoos, and two, the camera noticed her boobs.
Yep, it did.
And no one used soap.
No. In, what was it, 82 minutes? If you make an 82-minute movie with all the people we mentioned in it, and
10-minute shower scene.
11 minutes are spent on a shower scene with two people you've never heard of. You've got a problem. Yeah. Bro, like that's not
like
a good
I'm
movie.
You know what? I don't get I'm you know what? I'm as much, you know, male or female, gratuitous nudity, whatever, do it up. Whatever turns your crank. knock yourself out. But when I got done with a shower scene featuring two attractive people and I go, I don't think either one of them used soap, that's a problem. Like when I'm watching, now right. Granted, I have two teenagers and teenagers have a tenuous at best relationship with cleanliness. So right. I am hyper focused on whether someone actually has done everything they were supposed to yeah. present themselves as a clean, fresh smelling individual to the world at large. So maybe that's me. But when I got done with this and I was like, all y'all did is stand underwater. You're not clean. Get back in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. you probably didn't spend a full 2 minutes brushing your teeth either.
Right.
But I didn't yeah. understand it. The movie ended and I was like, all I could look at was like, okay, the rotoscoping on that power armor, that's fucked up because that weird like neon light doesn't match the pattern on the arm. Like it was just,
yeah,
it was the type of movie where that's the thing you start looking at. And I didn't understand it and it was done.
It's nonsense.
And
it's,
I was like, okay, I guess the thing is that there's a lot of horror people in this, but why would they agree to do it?
My only thought is that maybe the director's dad is wealthy and they all just happened to be at a horror convention somewhere and he showed up and was like, hey, I have this script, I'll give you $70 billion to do it. And everybody was like, all right. Like it makes no sense to me that Kane Hodder, that Bill Moseley, as many movies as they do, that fucking Dee Wallace, any of these people read this script and were like, yep, got it. Want to be in it. It's just like, oh, it's nonsense from start to finish. It's 80 minutes. And I text you and I was like, that was the longest 82 minutes of my life. Like, I can't imagine anybody watching this and being like, that was fucking awesome. Because I watch garbage, Brandon. I watch shit that only the director and the people that were in it saw while they made it.
and then they were done and they're like, we can't release this.
They've never seen the finished product. I have. This is the worst thing I have seen in a very long time.
It was not great.
No.
And I don't... You know, I'm fine, like, if you have a movie that has a clear intention and direction, and it just misses the mark.
Yeah.
We have differing opinions on The Void. Mm-hmm. I felt it was overstuffed. Mm-hmm. You did not. I have... a million times more appreciation for The Void after having seen this movie, because this movie tried to shove at, you know, 10 pounds of shit in a 5 pound bag and just failed miserably. You know,
The Void had good ideas.
The Void was, to me, a movie that I think was executed on well. I felt like it just needed to focus on fewer things.
Sure.
And this movie, so I have a lot more respect for a movie like The Void, where I go, I can see what you were doing. Mm-hmm. Your intentions were clear. Your focus was clear. I just felt like the execution didn't hit the landing, so to speak. This movie, I honestly had no idea what it was doing. It just felt like they went, okay, let's get a whole bunch of horror people together, and then, you know...
Hopefully a movie comes
film, out. Film, you know, right. boobs for 11 minutes, and hope a movie comes out of it. Like, the scene when they're, like... When they're going down the elevator shaft...
Yeah.
And I was like, why are you shooting these people? You're not even near them. Like, you're just, like, they just grab, they're just like, okay, you ready? Yeah, we're ready. Okay, cool. Put a rag around your hand, and we're going to slide down the elevator cable and get to the bottom. And I was like, all right, cool. And then they're like, well, we're going to shoot people along the way. Why? Why? Right. You're they're not coming after you, and you're going, you know who's helping you? Gravity. At this point, you're just going to be, you're going to be at the bottom. They're going to be five floors up. They can't get to you. Why are you murdering them? Like, I, like I didn't get, and I don't like leaving a movie going, well, I didn't understand that, because then what I feel like is that if I don't like it, it's my fault.
Right. Yeah. Same here. I do that all the time. It's not just movies, like books, any comics, anything. And I'm like, man, that's just smarter than I am. And it's, right. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't.
It is. Some. And I think in the case of Death House, I think we can both agree.
Yeah, no.
Not one of those cases.
No, I'm way smarter in this movie, and I'm a fucking idiot.
And now that I hear kind of the way that you've talked about it, it really feels worse. Like it was just. Yeah. Trying to say, hey, I got all these horror people to be in this movie. This is the, okay, if y'all remember Friday by Rebecca Black, which was an unfortunate song by a young woman who really had no business having anything she had sung put out in front of people. And her dad had a lot of money, and he paid for her to get a song. And then everyone made fun of it. Death House is the Friday of horror movies. And not the Friday, not you the know, good Friday. Not the good Friday, not the, I'm gonna get you high. Not that Friday. Yeah. Death House is the Rebecca Black Friday of horror.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you know, it's fucking terrible.
If you want to watch it ironically, that's your business.
But oh shit, sorry, I just looked him up. I just looked up the director Harrison Smith or whatever. Mm-hmm. He, this is not his first feature length. His first feature length is a movie that I've actually seen and didn't hate, called Camp Dread. It's got Eric Roberts and Danielle Harris in it.
Eric Roberts,
yeah. I didn't hate it though.
The only thing I remember about Eric Roberts is that they ate him on South Park.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean,
they got snowed in and they were without power for like half an hour, and they ate Eric Roberts.
Nice. I don't watch that. I've never watched South Park. It's not my show. But I remember Eric Roberts from that fucking karate movie where he was on the US team or whatever. And and they made like 19 sequels, but the first one's actually not bad. And then, of course, he was in The Dark Knight as the mob guy or whatever. But
I think he was in, I think he was the bad guy. I want to say he was the bad guy in Devil in a Blue Dress, Denzel Washington.
Gotcha.
Which I don't know where that came from. Apparently, I know more. Apparently, yeah. They're like, hey, what Roberts person do you know the most of? Julia? No, Eric.
No, Eric.
Or his daughter. So she,
oh my god,
yeah,
he's in post-production on something called Steel Justice and he plays John Waters. I'm watching the fuck out of that. I don't even know what it is.
But Eric Roberts isn't his daughter. She's on American Horror Story and she's on Scream Queens and she was in Scream 4.
Is that his daughter?
Yeah, isn't it?
Know that. I don't know.
what's her name? This is the quality y'all have known to expect. What's her, I'm pretty sure
Emma Roberts or whatever?
Yeah, Emma Roberts.
That's his daughter.
I believe so.
I guess it is, and I did not know that. Holy shit.
I will say, you know, as much as I've been down on American Horror Story, this past season was actually really good.
This is the first season I didn't watch while it was coming on. So,
daughter of Oscar-nominated actor Eric Roberts and niece of Oscar winner. They have to put that in. That's an uncomfortable Thanksgiving. Hey, wow. What's it like not winning an Oscar? I wouldn't know.
No shit. Thanks for that resume, IMDb. What's fucked up?
Is the daughter of less successful actor Eric Roberts and extremely successful. And I will say, if you have Amazon Prime, watch Homecoming with Julia Roberts. I don't mean watch it literally with her. If you can swing that, more power to you.
Yeah.
So Homecoming is a 10-episode series, half-hour episodes, written by the guy who does Mr. Robot. And if you've watched Mr. Robot and you're like, I don't know what's going on, don't worry. You will by the end of Homecoming. It is very, very good. So
yes, you mentioned that, and I think somebody else was excited that you liked it. So I think it was Jace, maybe. Jace watches every fucking thing.
It is very, very good.
Yeah, cool.
You will not If you've watched Mr. Robot, part of watching Mr. Robot is just going, I don't know what's happening, and I'm cool with that. Gotcha. And so when you watch Homecoming, you will definitely feel that way partway through. But just the nice thing about it is that you will understand everything by the end. And it's, again, it's 10 episodes, half hour each. So
one other quick mention, because I mentioned Jace. I watched the movie last night. I'm going to be really fast because I know we're over time. But last night, based on Jace's recommendation and the fact that I was bored and noticed that it was on Netflix now, I watched Hurricane Heist last night. And
I got texts about it.
Yes, you did. If you have ever wondered what it would be like if the guys who make Sharknado movies attempted to make a Fast and the Furious movie with a Sharknado that didn't have sharks in it, this is your movie right here. Who? I don't know who had to blow who to get this thing not only made, but a fucking wide theatrical release. Yeah. God bless them.
Yeah.
I mean, that person needs to blow me, because that had to be the greatest blowjob in the history of human civilization. Because holy shit, is this movie dumb.
Doesn't it make you wonder how stuff like this happens? Especially, yes. Like, I cannot imagine how frustrating and heartbreaking it would be to be a person of talent who can't get their movie made.
Yes.
And then they see Hurricane Heist, and they're like, what the fuck? Like, how do you say, I'm out?
Prime example is I go to Walmart every Tuesday, and I see what is essentially shit in a Blu-ray case. Mm-hmm. Available for purchase, and yet Eduardo Sanchez, one half of the Blair Witch Project team, made this Bigfoot movie called Exists, and it is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it only exists on DVD.
Yeah,
like why? I mean, would it really have taken that much more to put it on a Blu-ray disc? Like, really?
Right. Yeah.
So yeah.
I need to see Hurricane Heist. And that being said, the cinematological episode Too Fast, That's Too Furious also, yep. Is, yep. Is imminent. It might be out tonight.
I'm refreshing the page as we speak. I've been doing it since we started because he said it was coming out on Thanksgiving.
I'm hopeful that by the time the show goes up, he had tweeted at me a few times saying it was the silliest episode we've ever done. And I was like,
I can't wait.
Between the movie and me, come on, that tracks. Yeah. I mean, I'm just, you know what? Dumb as a bag of hammers. I'll take it. It's fine. It's fine.
Shout out to the 53 people who have watched the Jason X episode. Appreciate that.
I love that episode.
I expect yours to double that. So
no, one of the things I've learned, and it's fine. I mean, I am who I am. Like, here's the thing: what folks need to get is that what you hear, that's me. That's me. This isn't an act.
No.
I mean, this is me. Good, bad, or indifferent. This is it. I'm an acquired taste. So.
Oh, I don't think that's the case.
I've learned over the course of my life that's the case. And that's fine, because fuck it. I don't, you know, whatever. I don't feel like I'm an asshole. I just, you know, whatever. It is what it is. So I don't know if that'll be that. I think that your episode was great, and you come across, because you do. I know a lot about the Fast and Furious, but I think that it is not necessarily presented in a way that Lee gives viewers confidence. we'll just leave it at that. Sometimes my excitement,
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. Oh, I said to Linda, we're watching on the big fucking screen.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, shit. But we've spent more than, a lot of time. Thank you, everybody.
Extra long.
Yeah, extra long. Sorry. So December's coming, and with that, we will be doing our best of episodes. So best of games, best of movies. Not sure right now what will be what. Unfortunately, there's still some good movies and still some good games, which I don't know that we would get to between now and the end of the year. But, you know, we always talk about these things with the caveat that we do reserve the right to, you know, kind of include stuff from the previous year, maybe that was at the tail end in our best of list. So expect that in the next couple episodes. Again, not sure what the order will be. But on this Thanksgiving episode, I want to say thank you. I know I am extremely thankful for everybody who has watched watched an episode and given us feedback and you know, shared it. And I'm super thankful for my brother from another mother on the other end of this line. You know, this show is just 100%. It is the high point of my week. You know, getting those texts about this movie or that movie. I mean, I fucking love it. So, man, I love you, man. Yeah, and I'm just, I hope, you know, we'll just keep doing this for, you know.
I'll do this forever, man. It's 100% mutual.
So thank you, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving. And we will see you again in the next 2 weeks. So this has been episode 60 of Divided by Werewolves. And we thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. And hopefully you'll be with us in the next 2 weeks. So for myself and Mitch, thank you again. Good night and have